family from. Some of us need to regain that. You let people harden your heart. Let people get your mind all vexed. Like it's left up to them. What is man? And you are so mindful of him. He don't have a hell or a heaven. He doesn't determine your future. Honor them. Respect them. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But give God what is due to him. Somebody say amen real loud. Running around here afraid of what man gonna do. Man gonna do all the mess and mess up every time he get a chance anyway. You can expect that. But thank God he doesn't determine your outcome. Your job doesn't determine your outcome or your income. You hear people say, I'm on a fixed budget. I'm on a fixed income. Well, it's only because in your mind you fixed it. Amen. Amen. Say amen loud again. Amen. I'm going to challenge you on that fact. It doesn't matter. You fix it. Amen. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Amen. Let me use it in today's vernacular. He that is stingy ain't get nothing. You're a stingy self. Well, the economy. Well, see, your mind is all messed up and all wrapped up and tied up in the broke economy, in the broke system. Amen. You got to rise up above it. Amen. And once you start flowing and moving in it, you will see heaven and earth kiss. You will see divine things coming upon you. Favor. That one of the most important things is God's timing. Amen. Amen. God's timing. That sense of wellness is worth more than having lots of money. But God has a financial plan. How many know when you got enough money, that brings a sense of wellness too? I don't say amen real loud. Don't act like, see, you get all religious and spiritual when we talk about money. But you know, like I know, you have a better attitude when you got enough money. When the bills are paid, when there's food on the table, when you can go out and do some things you like to do, when you can give to good causes. Tell me you don't feel better. You don't have a better attitude, a better outlook on life. In those times, you can easily say, God is good. You struggle when you ain't got enough. You're getting phone calls, threats, stuff being turned off. You're hungry. Don't tell me you got a good attitude. You have to struggle through that. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. Your peace is interwoven, or your prosperity is interwoven with your peace. Look up those words. Prosperity has to do with peace. And prosperity is not a bad word. It's what God has ordained for your life to prosper, to have. That should distinguish us from the world who gives all their life to obtain these things. But we have tapped into God's economic system. And they wonder how it is you working the job that you're working and your life seems so blessed, you seem so joyful, you seem to have and seem to have your needs always met, or somebody that's working all these jobs, sacrificing their children, sacrificing their marriage, sacrificing their body, and still not making it happen. Or make it happen and then get sick, or at the end of their life wished they'd have done it different. Somehow on the deathbed, everything that really matters comes to the forefront. And most people say, you know, if I could do it again, I wouldn't chase this. I would have spent more time with my family. I would have given more to people. Oh, yeah. Rather than just go after. And so God has set in place a financial plan to where we don't have to go after and waste our lives and expend our health to try to get what the Gentiles are always seeking. He said, you seek first my kingdom, Matthew 6:33, and all these other things will be added unto you. See, some of us need to make some decisions. Because like I said, there's those that come to church, and I commend them for coming to church, but the problem is they have not become the church. They come and they hear the word week in and week out, but there is no transformation. They remain the same. You see, there's danger in that. It's better to have not known the way. And I declare to you today, when it's all said and done, I'm not going to have your blood on my hands. Because the Lord is not going to be able to tell me, why didn't you tell him? Why didn't you say what I gave you to say? Uh-uh. My slate's going to be clean. Because I'm going to tell you, as best I know, and as God gives me, what God will bless and what he won't bless. And it's up to you to take it and either appropriate it to your life or discard it and do what you want to do. That's your call. That's your response ability. You won't be able to blame it on anybody else. You won't be able to say, well, that preacher didn't tell me. No, that preacher told you. Told you and told you and told you and told you. And told you and told you and told you. I can't follow you home. I can't live this for you. I'm not condemning you. I just prepare the meal. You determine whether you're going to eat or not. But God has a financial plan. And if you're honest, that's one of today's foremost challenges. You see, there are four winds in the earth. There is the military, the political, the religious, and the economical. If you look at history, at some time or another, all the earth was governed by politically, religiously. Today it's economics. Which country has the greatest economy? Is ruling stuff. He's calling the shots. And so it's a challenge today economically, and the devil would have it to be so. So it's something we have to deal with and conquer and truly allow God to be our source in the midst of it. Amen? Now, the definition of a tithe is tenth. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Say it with me, the tithe belongs to the Lord. You hear people say, well, I hadn't paid my tithes. Well, that's right. The reason why, because it's your tithe. No, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Say amen real loud again.
Amen.
The tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe is God's property, not yours. Not mine. It belongs to the Lord. In essence, what this means is tithing is not optional.
Amen.
Well, you know, I give every now and then, but I don't tithe. Well, tithing is not optional according to God's standard. You see, standards, that's not another great. Well, even though we are saved by faith through grace, there was something required of you even to get saved, even though you couldn't save yourself. None of us could save ourselves, but you did need to repent. And that's a problem we have today because there's a phony grace message that has nothing to do with repentance. God is love and God loves you, but he still requires you to repent. Without repentance, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. So people come get a good feeling and say they accept God, but don't repent.
Amen.
Repent means to have a change of mind.
Yes.
You were going one direction, but you repented, so you stopped going that direction.
Amen.
You turned around and going in another direction.
Amen.
How How can you say you're saved and nothing in your life has changed? Except you went to the altar, said a prayer. I didn't say prayed, but said a prayer. Didn't mean it in your heart anyway, just said a prayer. And now because your church name is on the church roll and you're doing a little something in the church, that means you're saved. That does not mean you're saved. That had nothing to do with salvation. Think about the thief on the cross. Now, I encourage, when you are truly saved, God needs laborers in the vineyard, in his house. That's when you're truly saved. Because it would be a disfavor to you to just pile a lot of work on you because you're gifted and you're not even saved. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Because, see, somewhere you're going to mess me up. Or if I'm not saved and you are somewhere, I'm going to mess you up. Because I'm being led by a whole nother spirit. The spirit of this world versus the spirit of God. I'm under the laws of another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. How shall light fellowship with darkness? So it's important to yield yourself, to repent. It's a heart condition, not a head condition. See, because you give consent to the word in your intellect has nothing to do with your heart. People say, amen, preacher, preach, and go away not having been changed at all. Boy, he told the truth, didn't he? Preacher, preach today, man. Yeah. No, didn't allow the word to change anything. Every now and then we go into the house and we talk about husbands and wives. And people shout amen, and, you know, sometimes even embarrass the spouse. Preach! You own it! And then go home and nothing changes. You still treat her like a dog. Still cruel. Heartless, evil. See, there's got to be repentance. That's between you and the Lord. The preacher's just to preach. How can they hear without a preacher? See, some of this stuff I'm bringing to your mind you hadn't thought about. How shall he preach except he be sent? Be a mouthpiece for God. That's simply what it means. But there's repentance involved. See, even with tithing, some of us need to repent. Say amen real loud. Because all you have been doing is been throwing a bone to the God of your salvation.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS. Or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.